Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. The indictment is made public. The details of Donald Trump's indictment, we walk through that. You can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, so a little bit of a detour. Usually this is our Ask Me Anything. We talk about philosophy and religion and the deeper things in life.
Yeah,
not, we don't have time for that. Deeper stuff is a later time. We're going super shallow. Well, sort of. It's actually deep into something. We're going to just talk about the indictment. The indictment has dropped. Breaking news. So this is detail. The indictment has now dropped against Donald Trump. First of all, let's just remind ourselves this is an indictment. So the facts here are not bulletproof. It could be hearsay. It could be stuff that is circumstantial. It could be flawed evidence. It's the government we're dealing with, after all, right? Now, there could be some of that's true, some that's not true. Let's just be very clear. This is an indictment. This is not a conviction. I don't trust the government. I don't trust Biden's Department of Justice. But we are going to, just to give you a warning, we're going to go through this indictment. And so we're saying things. We're not saying that they're true. We're saying this is what the indictment says so you can know what we're up against, okay?
Yeah.
Initial impression, way longer than I thought. It's a long document.
This is not Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, Alvin Bragg was what, like a paragraph, right?
It was
not a paragraph, but it was short, right?
Shorter, but it was also repeating the same charge.
It was
37, 34 times, whatever that number was.
Yeah. Again, this is far more serious.
Yeah, this has a specific story that they are laying out. And they are essentially, I mean, we should start at the beginning.
Let's start at the beginning.
Okay, so this is United States of America v. Donald Trump and Waltine Nada.
Let's just take a pause. That's just to read that.
Yeah.
America versus Trump.
It's a bad day.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
So, yeah. So basically what they are laying out here is that, Donald Trump took, the Trump indictment says that he took classified docs that include info regarding defense, weapons capabilities of U.S. and foreign countries, our allies, U.S. nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of U.S. and its allies to military attacks, and plans for possible retaliation should we be attacked, our response to an attack, that he kept those at his residence at Mar-a-Lago, that he was asked to return them, he returned some, and that he had his co-conspirator, as they are outlining Mr. Waltine Nada, basically moved some of the boxes, and then they asked for them again, at which point his attorney then delivered about approximately 38 boxes, or 38 more documents to them. And at that point, unconvinced that he had returned all the documents in question, that's when the raid happened. Okay? And they are alleging that Mr. Trump obstructed justice by lying not only to the FBI and to the Department of Justice, but to his lawyers, so that his lawyers would then lie to the Department of Justice as well and to the National Archives. So, and they also were alleging that on two different instances, he was essentially recorded, which is the CNN story that dropped Friday morning, alleging that he was caught on tape, and you have that specific and forth, which is
interesting. And I'm already going to defend Trump with this. This is showmanship type stuff. This is him with friends and buddies. This is not indictable. This is very, very weak. Okay.
But and that's probably the calculus if you're in the Trump camp at this time, right? You're saying, listen, this is a paperwork dispute. I got 1,000 problems. This is probably low on my list, right? So he had so going through the timeline again, Charlie, we got on January 17th. This is right. I'm reading verbatim from the indictment now. Nearly 1 year after Trump left office and after months of demands by the National Archives and Records Administration, NARA, for Trump to provide all missing presidential records, Trump provided only 15 boxes, which contained 197 documents with classification markings. So that's January 7th. On June 3rd, so that's about 11 months after he left office, on June 3rd, in response to a grand jury subpoena demanding the production of all documents with classified markings, classification markings, Trump's attorneys provided to the FBI 38 more documents with classification markings. So that's June 3rd. So January 17th, he provides 197 documents. On June 3rd, he provides 38. And then on August 8th, pursuant to a court-authorized search warrant, i.e. Merrick Garland signed off on it, the FBI recovered from Trump's office and a storage room at Mar-a-Lago Club 102 more documents with classification markings. So that was when they actually raided Mar-a-Lago. They got another 102 documents. They say that they know probably from witness testimony that they that Donald Trump had a habit when president of basically having cardboard boxes in his office or whatever and collecting memorabilia, letters, things like that, and apparently classified documents. The question then, Charlie, to me then becomes, you know, why the Department of Justice was so intent on getting these documents. Did they fear that Trump was actually going to leak them on WikiLeaks? No. Did they fear that he was going to use them as political retaliation?
Look, here's the thing is that obviously there's this pent up incentive, right? So when you have someone that is a threat to the neoliberal order, Tucker, Bannon, Bongino,
the Uniparty, regime, the Leviathan.
You flood the zone, right? For those of you that know your football analogies, right? You have three defenders, you put five receivers, right? You just can't defend everybody, right? You flood the zone, you overwhelm the system, or you just deploy everything you can, right? So you just say, okay, what do we have at Justice? What do we have this? What do we have on civil lawsuits, right? And there is kind of like this central command center, which is run by Reid Hoffman and Laureen Powell Jobs, Mackenzie Bezos, right, that are kind of conducting the whole thing. Can we please get that clip? Every orchestra needs a conductor. I just think it's perfect. But basically, it's not as contrived as I think we put it, Andrew. It's just that they're just throwing everything they could against the wall, and all of a sudden they were like, oh my goodness, did we, you know, we just hit the quote-unquote jackpot, if I hated Trump, where he happens to have a bunch of documents, and this is our vector.
I mean, it seems to me like...
Right? That's the vector.
Yeah, but we go back to that Schumer clip, right, Charlie, where we've got the, you know... supposedly smart businessman. We have the clip. Yeah, let's play it. But, I mean, you know, he basically says you're not being very smart. And what I see laying out before us, Charlie, is a sort of dogfight between two hardened sides. And I believe that the intelligence community was worried that what Trump was keeping. And by the way, here's another little wrinkle before we move on here. This is another wrinkle. This is from The Independent yesterday. It says the use of U.S. Section Code 793, right? Section 793 makes, and this is the Espionage Act, right? So they went from the Presidential Act to the Espionage Act, which threw everybody for a loop yesterday. So here's why, though. It's understood to be a strategic decision by prosecutors that has been made to short-circuit Mr. Trump's ability to claim that he used his authority as president to declassify documents he removed from the White House and kept it as Palm Beach, Florida property. So what they have done is they were anticipating that that was going to be a strong defense from Trump to keep these, and so they're intentionally short-circuiting it and saying, it doesn't matter, you are withholding privileged documents related to U.S. national defense and security, therefore we're going to get you on espionage charges.
Yep.
But again, the North Star, as you call it, you termed it that. The Schumer clip is the North Star.
It is the North Star. It is the fulcrum point of the Trump story.
Yes.
The Trump story started politically on the golden escalator, and it goes to this moment. And the BC, like, it's like BC and AD, right?
Yeah.
Which is before Chuck Schumer going on Maddow and revealing the intelligence community. Because at that point, that was basically Chuck Schumer, Lexington and Concord moment, right? Shot heard around the world. The intelligence agencies are coming after you. The wolves are out.
I think what we should do in the next segment, Charlie, I think we should break down just how dogged the intelligence community has been pursuing Trump throughout his entire tenure in politics.
Let's talk about it. Let's name it. Who are the intelligence agencies? Who are these people? Who staffs them? These are the same people that, according to RFK Jr., killed JFK. Right. RFK Jr. saying it, not me. Well, listen, He's saying that the government killed JFK.
I think we can look at this through a lens of let's assume that this indictment is 100% true, that everything they said is true, and then we can look at it and say that it's not true.
Again,
right?
I find things in here. I don't believe it. I don't want to do the DOJ.
Well, you also know the president. You know how he talks. You know how he can sort of
I think there's some bravado in some of this that is being missed in just the transcript.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it I think there's one pretext way. And context to, you know, and that doesn't mean the document was not necessarily declassified or not.
Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
And supposedly for a hard-nosed business guy, this is a really dumb thing to be doing. Trump has been charged with 37 counts is what we're looking at.
Facing 100 years.
100 years in prison. Trump charged with 37 counts. Okay, I want to just reiterate something. I am not saying I'm trusting this indictment. I'm just giving you the facts, everybody. Yes, these are the same group of cockroaches that doctored the January 6th footage and added music for dramatic effect, right? So it's the same regime, okay? They tamper with evidence. They do all this. Some of this very well might be true. Some of it might be totally fraudulent. We're just reading the indictment, okay? Because we're getting a lot of emails. Oh, Charlie, I don't trust any of it. God bless you. I probably agree with a lot of it.
Oh, by the way, remember, Jack Smith's wife produced Michelle Obama's documentary, Belonging.
Yeah, so,
and she produced a riveting thriller.
We're in harmony with you. But
yes.
We'll find out what's true and what's not true in the indictment, but it's important that you know what's actually on the document.
Yes.
So, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were talking about Charlie. It's a running theory here, right? So the government is saying that he maintained and withheld these documents. So they're short-circuiting now, right? Let's just, again, there's a lot of moving parts here. So they're using Section 793, which is the Espionage Act, which they think will short-circuit the Presidential Records Act, right? Because they were anticipating that he had a strong defense to say, hey, I had the right as president by simply speaking it out into the world that I could declassify these documents. That's really hard to prove. Kash Patel and others have said that, hey, yeah, the president actually did do this. I was involved in the declassification effort. I remember him doing it as we were leaving the White House. Okay. So they're anticipating that. So then they say, well, no, these are related to national defense, national security. So we're going to short circuit that. We're going to go Espionage Act, right? So, and here's the piece. They said delivered, transmitted, the same to any person not entitled to receive it or willfully retains the same and fails to deliver it on demand to the officer or employee of the United States entitled to receive it can be punished by as many as 10 years in prison. It is understood that prosecutors intend to ask grand jurors to vote on the indictment on Thursday, which now we know has happened. Again, this was published on Wednesday and was leaked to the press. Again, we're seeing the same MO, the same pattern playing out. Leaks, then what we see leaked actually happens, right? To allow for a complete presentation of evidence or to allow investigators to gather more evidence for presentation if necessary. So this is my theory, all right? So this is what we were building out beforehand. I just put together a quick list. This is not going to be comprehensive. But here's a couple ways in which Trump has been dogged by the intel agency. We started this segment by playing the Schumer Six Ways from Sunday clip. Think about it. The FBI spied on his campaign. Trump famously said it was wiretapped.
Crossfire hurricane.
Yes. He said it was tapped.
It was an inside job of the government against the people.
Yeah. Comey briefs him on the P tapes and the Christopher Steele document. That briefing then gave the press a legitimate hook in which to leak that to the public. So well, then everybody starts talking about it.
Yeah, and then you had Sessions and you had Flynn.
Flynn was entrapped.
They literally entrapped Flynn in the White House halls.
Which they did not do to Hillary Clinton. No. Stroke was in the room with Clinton and basically gave her a free pass, okay? He had the perfect call with Vindman that was recorded then leaked and which led to his impeachment. Mm-hmm. And we had those the whistleblower, remember Eric Shimarella that was,
well, he was one that
part of the CIA.
Yeah, he was the one that was on the phone call.
He was a special attaché, yep. Right? So think about all of these different touch points that Trump has had. So I want to play this out. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying the indictment is true. I'm saying let's play this out both ways. Say what's in the indictment is true. I started immediately asking the question, what was Trump getting at here? Well, he probably figured he had covers. He was covered by the Presidential Records Act. Yep. Secondly, that he has been playing, he's been in a dogfight with the deep state and the intel community since mm-hmm. the jump. They do not like him. Schumer says, from what I hear, they're not happy with the way he's been talking about me. So he's keeping certain documents probably as an ace in the hole. If the indictment is true, as it reads, all right? Again, this is one side of the argument. This is one side of the argument, right? You can get an indictment against a ham sandwich, right?
I found something important.
All right.
So go ahead. Keep going.
No, but the point is, this is one side of it. What would be, if it's true, if the government's case here is true as it reads, what's Trump's motivation? Trump knows that he has been dogged by a corrupt intel community that is coming after him, that has come after him, and that he's holding an ace in the hole.
The indictment states that Trump's trial would take between 21 and 60 days, of which he would most likely have to sit and be present in the entire time during an election. 21 to 60 days to be sidelined during a presidential election.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell, great American patriot, has MyPillow. It's launching MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free offer with promo code Kirk and get your best sleep ever now. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in America and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to buy the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Kirk. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow 2.0 now. That's MyPillow.com. Again, they have a knife edge seam, no gusset, available in 4 loft levels, made in America. So check it out right now, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square, promo code Kirk.
Okay, let's play cut 127.
As soon as I saw the espionage mentioned, I realized this is probably one of these extraordinarily weak, elastic cases where the law is stretched to fit the person, where you have Lavrenti Beria to the KGB talking to Stalin and saying, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. Now, we're not the Soviet Union. We're not a banana republic, but we have to do everything in our power, Democrats, Republicans alike, to stop that from happening to our beloved country.
Well, it's already happening, Professor. I got to be very honest with you. I appreciate the insistence. I appreciate you having the courage as a Democrat to speak out. But Andrew, it's already happening. This sort of Dershowitz 1980s, 1990s, you know, liberal, I'm going to defend, you know, the classical liberal tradition. We're in a postmodern era now.
Yeah, I mean, what Dershowitz said something I think pretty interesting there. He's basically saying that the statutes are all being so overly expanded, applied unevenly, and he's absolutely right. And everything that we know about Jack Smith seems to indicate that that's his MO, right? He was overturned by the Supreme Court 9-0 for doing something very similar in the state of Virginia earlier on in his career. I think he is prepared to stretch the statutes, play sort of novel games with the legal code as we see them pivoting to this espionage strategy, right, to short circuit, as they said, the Presidential Records Act. And they're saying he wasn't approved to have these. I think the other piece of this that's interesting and worth reiterating time and time again is the disparate treatment between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. She was not. She did not have the ability or she the authority not. To declassify anything.
So she just destroyed him instead.
She destroyed it.
Which is way worse.
Washing or, you know what was that clip?
Bleach like, bidding.
With the cloth? How do you do this? So, now she's selling merch, talking about, but the
Hillary
emails.
Clinton is celebrating and trolling all of you guys.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
She's the winner.
It's really disgusting.
Hillary Clinton will not go to jail because we do not have a Republican Party tough enough to go after
her. You know, and somebody said to me, well, but we wanted Hillary Clinton to go to jail. Yeah, we did, and we still do, because A, she wasn't president, she didn't have the right to declassify anything, and she so brazenly thumbed her nose at the justice system, and thirdly, she had a guy named Peter Strzok sitting in the briefing room with the FBI, who we now know is a partisan hack, who was worried that Trump was going to be a death to democracy, and he gamed the system for her. So how Jim Jordan just sent a letter to Merrick Garland, essentially outlining this two-tiered system of justice that we've been railing against.
That's right.
And he's highlighting the fact that Hillary was treated with kid gloves. And this is the last thing I'll say. We inherited a country where Nixon was pardoned, okay? They understood in those days that to indict and to arrest and imprison a former president, regardless of the allegations against him, would be so terrible for the nation that we wouldn't do it. There was prudence. There was reserved treatment. There was an understanding that you don't blow up the country politically and culturally.
So they don't care about any of that.
No.
Because for Donald Trump, the rules don't matter.
So instead of narrowly applying things with prudence and using a rational, conservative
approach. Or instead of beating Trump through the system, they have to create a new system to defeat him.
That's the last point. Maddow gave up the goose. She said straight up. Yeah, we should. I don't know what number it is, but.
It's there. Where Maddow, who's Operation Mockingbird spokesperson. She says, look, the DOJ should just do a plea deal. She's telling you she's afraid he can win the presidency again.
Yes.
This is about preventing him from being president. And I don't know about you. This only strengthens my resolve as an American. And a lot of people in the audience are like, I've never been so behind Trump because of this.
Yes, I totally agree. I think
feel
this
the
is
energy.
Going,
I feel the vibe.
This is a witch hunt. And I'm not okay. Listen, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not in the Department of Justice. I get it. I don't know. He probably was sloppy or essentially. And here's my other theory: is that he was basing this on the precedent that the FBI and the DOJ set with Hillary Clinton.
Basing it on behavior of other past presidents.
He assumed this was
probably saying like, "Oh, Obama has documents everywhere.
I got 1,000 problems. This is low on my list." So, yeah, should it have been handled differently? Was there some malfeasance by the attorneys? Did he sort of play cat and mouse with them? I don't know. But the point is, there was no precedent under which he was supposed to base his decision-making matrix off of that would have indicated he was going to get raided at Mar-a-Lago. There was nothing to indicate that they were going to actually indict him and have him face 100 years in prison.
100 years in prison.
100 years. By the way, he's not only the leading Republican candidate for president, he is the leading candidate for president. He is currently outpolling Joe Biden by a large margin. So all of these things combined together, and we play this cut, 113, you have to remember that it's not just a scenario where they're expanding the threshold. They are trying to remove him. None of this would be happening if he wasn't running for president again.
Well, and that's the irony, isn't it? The irony is that some people speculate Donald Trump announced for the presidency early because he thought he'd be given special legal protection from the Department of Justice based on their memo.
Yeah.
Where they said, we don't go active after candidates. But when in reality, his strength in the polls, his strength of the grassroots, his strength in the general election is now actually making him more likely to be treated unfairly criminally.
Interesting. So you're saying if he was polling at 10% right now, this doesn't happen?
I can't say that. I think Bragg would have happened no matter what. I think that Bragg is totally...
Georgia might happen no matter what.
And Georgia's... Boy, my goodness. You see, this is I'm going to repeat the buried lead. So, Blake, you're going to have to help me live on air here. So, federal charges come down. Now, remember, Jack Smith venue shopped because he didn't want to be delayed in Florida. I mean, delayed in D.C.
In D.C.
So there's probably usually a 5 to 6 month wait after the first hearing, right? Is that fair? Let's say 7 or 8 months.
Well, in the case of D.C., what was that? That was early May, and they're saying December.
This is super important.
Early May now to December,
okay.
Right?
So let's say it's 8 months waiting before trial. Yes, maybe. It depends on Trump and how many motions he files and stuff. He can insist on a speedier trial.
Or he could throw up a lot of barriers, challenges. His lawyers can file.
So let's pretend, looking at other Department of Justice stuff, this is going to be super high profile. Let's say that it's a year from today that the trial comes. Okay? They say that the trial could take between 20 and 60 days. Okay, that's 2 months. That's a month. Now, he has to be sitting there. Now, Blake, from my understand, though, if you're sitting on trial, it's not like a civil case. You have to be there, right? Correct?
Yeah, for a federal trial? Yeah.
You can't just outsource
unless
it like a civil case.
Unless there's special accommodations made for a former president, which there hasn't been any special accommodations made thus far.
I think
far.
When you face federal charges, you have to be present the whole time.
Yeah. Yes. I would assume. Look it up, but
yeah,
I
look
would
it
assume.
Up. I mean, for example, with the Gene Carroll nonsense, he didn't have to be there, right?
No, but was a civil trial.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? But this is important. You're talking about during Donald Trump could be sitting trial during the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
He could be the nominee of the party and having to be sit trial. New York is going to bubble up next spring, too. George is about to be filed.
If you're DeSantis, if you are Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, all the rest, right?
Man,
you actually have to be looking at this.
Evil.
You have to be looking at this sort of in two scenarios, right? One, he's going to suck up all the oxygen. I'm sorry, but we're not going to be talking about anything else except for Trump's indictments, possible looming prison time, whatever, right? And two, if he is removed from the chessboard, which I'm assuming there's an appeal process, right, Blake? Even if he is convicted, right? I mean, what?
So Turley thinks the trial will be after the election. I'm reading too fast. He thinks it'll be before the election and that Trump will be able to pardon himself if he becomes president, obviously. So, So basically, Donald Trump has an opportunity. This is going to be my advice to Trump. Do not make this about yourself. Make it about the system. Make it about all people that feel victimized by a tyrannical government, right? And make your candidacy this massive constitutional referendum as I am the placeholder of a constitutional tradition.
Did they just hand Trump
But he has to capitalize. It can't be about
yes,
you, man.
Yes,
in my opinion.
But here's the thing. This whole witch hunt, I do believe, I agree with you.
Well,
I think the base is going to galvanize. The base
yes.
is going to galvanize around Trump. I think in the primary, you might slough off a few that are just like done, right? They're just exhausted by the whole drama of it. But I think he's still the odds-on favorite to win the primary, right? We all agree. The question then becomes, will this so weigh him down in a general that he is unelectable, right? That's their hope. That's got to be their hope, right? Their hope, their calculus here is that this will...
It depends on how we message it. Depends if we can move the Overton window. And it depends how Trump handles it. If Trump... It's a very interesting thing, right? You got to think of a swing voter in Wisconsin. Because it's three states, right? Trump's going to win Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, even under indictment. This will help him in Miami.
North Carolina, Texas, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to come down. Yeah, he'll win Texas. He's going to come down to Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. Does this help him with a swing voter in Kenosha? Does this help him with a swing voter in Scottsdale? Does this help him with a swing voter in Buckhead? I don't know. But I do know that you can always use the enemy's energy against itself. Always. That is a rule of physics, okay? It's not always easy. It takes sometimes some maneuvering and some dodging and some placement. But done properly, Donald Trump gets to do the one thing that in politics can make you rise in popularity. You get to play the victim.
That's right.
If you play the victim correctly, as if all of a sudden you are the one that is being terrorized. You are the one that is being treated terribly. Your popularity and sympathy can go up. But boy, that is a needle to thread.
So here's what's interesting about being an alpha, right? Trump is the ultimate
he
alpha.
He doesn't
in
like
the room.
Playing that card.
No, but he, yeah, so to make Trump a sympathetic figure is absolutely a difficult challenge, okay? This has done it time and time again. So Trump gets to rattle off. He gets to rattle off the Russia hoax. He gets to rattle off the Mueller investigation. He gets to rattle off 2020, too, how the FBI colluded with Facebook and Twitter and others to withhold the Hunter laptop. There is a lot here, and you combine this with the disparate treatment between him and Hillary Clinton. He is being victimized by the U.S. federal government. I think that much is
fact. Can you win sympathy? So it's a mystery as to when the trial will actually take place. On Tuesday, this is all going to kind of come front and center. Donald Trump is going to have to be, he'll surrender again. So he'll be facing charges in the federal. I mean, this thing is such a joke. It's such an, I was going to use some colorful language, but we're on FCC regulated mediums right now. It's such a disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, so we do have one extra little clarification from the earlier segment. It being president of trial is actually a defendant's right. So
he can leave.
So he can leave. I think he'll be mandated for maybe the beginning.
And the sentencing.
But what he's going to do is he's going to be present for it at the beginning, and then he's going to leave. And if it happens before the election, he's going to go campaign and all this and that. But according to Jonathan Turley, this will not happen until if and when he wins the presidency or loses it, in which case, if he wins, he will then be able to pardon himself, which he absolutely will do.
He'll run on it.
And he's going to pardon a bunch of people. He's going to pardon J6ers. I want to go back to this. You know, we talk about this intel clipping the North Star, right? Schumer, 6 ways from Sunday. The second North Star is Jim Comey saying, can you imagine, can we survive 4 years of a retribution presidency?
This is so preemptive.
And so what Trump is going to do, this is only, by the way, when you talk about presidential mandates,
Seriously. Can
you imagine the presidential mandate to deconstruct the
administrative state,
the Leviathan, all this, the deep state, all the things we'd say? He could also fundamentally transform the way the FBI, the DOJ, right, and the CIA are all structured. He could move them to Iowa, folks. This could happen. And by the way, he could work with Congress to sort of ring fence some of those funding. But one of the X factors is, will they put a gag order on him?
This is a question, right?
Yeah.
Will a judge put a gag order on him? And we don't know, right? So Trump should honestly just let this play out till Tuesday and not say anything before Tuesday, so the judge has any reason to issue a gag order. So just like play it easy, man, till Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I can't imagine Trump even like.
It would be really bad for the country and the campaign. I mean, could you imagine that election interference? Oh, by the way, you're under indictment and you can't talk. And if you talk, you're going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Okay, let's play some pieces of tape here as we are going through the indictment. The details are developing in real time as we are processing this. I want to play Mark Levin, play cut 110.
President Trump is 76 years old. If the Department of Justice gets his way, he will die in federal prison. Just by one of these counts, conspiracy to obstruct justice, which has a 20-year maximum sentence. This is a disgusting, disgusting mark on American history for the future to come, by these bandits in the White House, by the Democrat Party that don't play fair anymore. They don't want to just win elections. They want to take control of this country. They want one-party rule. And they have used the Department of Justice and the FBI to get what they want.
They are using the federal agencies to get what they want. And now Woodrow Wilson was the father of the American administrative state, hated the Constitution, gave us the Espionage Act. And now here we are, Donald Trump at war with the administrative state.
Yeah, and I think that the battle lines were drawn in 2016, Charlie. Honestly, when you think about the way that this indictment was written, it goes all the way back to comments he made in his campaign.
That's right.
And then there's
commentary. They're trying to do the, we thought you were big on the thing. That should not be in the indictment.
Yeah.
It's completely irrelevant.
And it's so
you're trying to set a PR moral standard of you violated your own morality.
Yeah,
that's a Hillary Clinton wink and nod in the indictment, by the way.
Well, and 100%. And you just think back to the missed opportunities, Charlie, of 2016, 2017, where we had both houses and the presidency. We controlled the apparatus of government in Washington, D.C., and we failed to understand the threat that Trump was facing. You could point fingers all you want. I mean, all of this stuff is unprecedented, and it's hindsight 2020. But now we have to deal with it because it didn't get dealt with then.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.